I'm talking with Danny Boy O'Connor, who recently bought the Outsiders House in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and plans to turn it into a museum. I am an Outsiders nut. I have been since I was a kid. I know you're exactly the same way. Can you talk about what this movie means to you and why you bought this house and your future plans for it?
Yeah, you got it. So I went to see the movie on its first release in 83. I had no idea what I was going to see. A friend of mine, Steve Sikorsky from high school, he was like the best looking, fucking most athletic guy in high school. I don't even know why I was doing hanging out with him. He said, I'm going to go see the movie. You want to go see it? And I said, sure. But I had no idea what it was. He'd read the book, right? I walk in, movie starts. I'm taken to another world. It felt like a 50s type of movie. The score was different. The visuals were different. The style was different than anything that was going on in the 80s. And I related with the characters because I can't go to New York, moved to L.A., always felt different and apart. Kids in L.A. in my neighborhood had a lot of money. We did not, although, you know, I went to the same schools with a lot of kids. A lot of kids had different, you know, shit going on. So right out the gate, I related with that shit. And then the Dallas Winston character was like the kicker, you know, how he came from New York and was doing his thing in Tulsa, whatever. So I went in a kid. I felt like I came out like a young adult. I started smoking cigarettes, bought a denim jacket. I wanted to be Dallas Winston so bad it hurt. Go home, tell my mother about it, who we've always had a tenuous relationship. She used to always talk about my father, and, you know, on a good night, she would tell me about how, you know, how tough and charismatic and what a gangster he was, and on a bad night, what a piece of shit he was. So I thought, well, this movie would probably mimic what the story she told me growing up in Brooklyn about my father. Take her to see it, all excited, hope she'd be impressed. We come out of the movie theater, and I said, what do you think, you know? She said, well, I don't know how they do it in Tulsa, but that's not how we do it in Brooklyn. And I thought, you bitch. How dare you, right? So at 13 or 14, I was like, what is a Tulsa? So I had no idea what that meant. But either way, the movie stuck with me. I rented it on a VHS as often as I could. And then, you know, like a decade would go by, I wouldn't think about it. You know, it would always be in the back of my head as like a cool movie. Then DVDs would come out, and I'd buy it on DVD. I'd watch it and trip out. And it wasn't until really like 2009, fast forward all these years, even though, again, the Dallas Winston character was the standout for me. I always tried to apply that when you look at early House of Pain stuff, or I'm always in a denim jacket. It was just that kind of cool that Matt Dillon had. Mm-hmm. That always kind of stuck with me. And it wasn't until like 2009 that I was stuck on a 3-day layover on a La Cosa Nostra tour, on the first La Cosa Nostra tour, that we got stuck in Tulsa. And we were all like, what the fuck are we supposed to do in Tulsa for 3 days? So we got a cab to take us to the nearest mall, where we bought a bunch of fucking DVDs and sneakers that we didn't need just because we were bored. And on the way back from that mall, it hit me like a ton of bricks. My mother's saying, well, I don't know how they do it in Tulsa, but that's not how we do it in Brooklyn. And I said, holy shit. Oh, excuse me, driver, was The Outsiders filmed here? And he hit the brakes. And he was like, yeah. Why do you ask? And I go, oh, my fucking God. Do you know any of the spots? He goes, I know all the spots. And I was like, holy fuck. So that began, like, my first experience with locations. This is how Delta Bravo starts. Mm-hmm. So we drop the band off. I tell everybody, Everlast, Lethal, you guys want to go? They're like, nah, well, I'm good. So nobody was interested. I told the road manager, yo, dude, he goes, bro, I'm busy. I go, fuck you. You work for me. You're coming. So I fucking made him. I corralled the road guy at the time, our sound guy, to go. I went upstairs. And at the time, the only thing on the internet in 2009 that had any information was a little bullshit site that was probably made on like Angel Fire, like in an old website program from the fucking early 90s,
yeah,
called Tulsa TV Memories. And it talked about the Admiral Twin Drive-In, which had just burnt down.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave up the address to the house, the 731 North St. Louis. So I ran and got my computer. I wrote those addresses down, just those two. I took a $100 bill and my road manager, we jumped back in the cab, and I gave him the $100. I said, take me and show me Tulsa. So we went by the house, which inadvertently we passed by Crutchfield Park, which was the park that the scene was filmed that Johnny killed the Soch in. Mm-hmm. We went by the house. We went by the drive-in, which was still pretty much exactly like a look in the movie. The screen had burned out. The screen was made of wood, and it was dried out after like 40 years, and it caught on fire. So although the screen was missing in the center, the concession stand was still there. You know, the scene where he gets the coke thrown on there. I stood right there, fucking, and it was surreal because now I'm a grown-ass man I probably just turned 40. And now I'm walking back into my childhood memories in a place unlike New York and L.A. where these things would have lasted 5-10 years after the film and then been torn down or remodeled or redone, you know? Mm-hmm. Tulsa stayed the same. And my mind was blown. And then we played at Kane's Ballroom, which the history on that place is fucking phenomenal. And when I got there, my friend said, hey, I know you're friends with Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols. Let me show you this. And he took me back into the office. And he said, the guy who ran the spot said, this used to be in the dressing room, so we had to take it out because people kept writing near it. And I looked at it, and it was a frame on the wall with the piece of the wall with a hole punched in it. And he said, that's the Sid Vicious punch, this hole when Sex Pistols played here. So I took a photo of that, and I took a photo of the drive-in, and I took a photo of the house, and I took a photo of the park, and I posted it up on Facebook. And the response I got was like nothing I'd ever posted before. Mm-hmm. People's minds were blown. They were like, holy fuck. Where are you? How did you find the Outsider's house? Is it real? Does it still exist? Are you kidding me? Where is that? And also with the Sex Pistols, like, oh, fuck, they played there, huh? So I thought I'm onto something here. And this is the kind of shit I was liking because at the time I was probably like 5 years sober. The only one of the four that was sober, highly caffeinated, and I just bought a new camera. And I thought, this is what I want to do. So this is what I'll do to kill my downtime on the road, you know, mm-hmm. is I'll go visit historical spots. So this is what starts the Delta Bravo thing. Although I didn't make that name up until, you know, months later, that was the first mission. So as I started going on the road, these are the things I would start to look for. Now, at the time, I remember thinking, fuck, you know, if the drive-in can burn down, what's going to stop the house from burning down? And I also remember thinking, why doesn't Nessie Hinton buy this place and, you know, turn it into a museum or something? But it was just an afterthought. It was no big deal. I'd go back over the years a few more times. A couple years later, we did a House of Pain show there. And I knew I could fly in instead of taking the bus from L.A. So a friend of mine who was from Denmark, he wanted to go. I took him to all the locations as well. This is when we were doing the Hellfire Canyon Club, riding the motorcycles. Mm-hmm. And I told him about it, and he said, yeah, man, I'm a huge fan of the Outsiders. I'd like to fly in with you. I was like, all right, cool. Took him to all the locations. I said, isn't this a trip how much it fucking still looks just like the movie? And he goes, dude, I never seen the movie. I go, what are you talking about? I go, why are you fucking with me? He goes, dude, I never seen the movie. I go, so why are you here? Why did you want to come here? He's like, dude, my mom is an English teacher in Denmark. She was the original one who brought Essie Hinton's books to Denmark. These stories I read is the reason why I come to the U.S. And it looks just like I pictured it in my mind's eye from the books. And that's when I was like, wow, this dude's never seen the movie and this shit tripped me out. So it was like a pilgrimage we would make. Every time I was going across the U.S., even if it was out of the way, I was like, we got to go to Tulsa. Took my wife to Graceland, we got to go to Tulsa. So every time I would stop by the house, I would notice it was losing a little bit more of its charm. It was looking a little bit more disheveled. There was more shit in the front yard, and the neighborhood was losing like more houses. So in that neighborhood, for example, like the Rumble Park, it was just abandoned for years. They build those Habitat for Humanity homes. Uh-huh. A couple blocks down, they tore the whole block down, build more Habitat for Humanity homes. Now, that's great for low-income housing to be built. I'm not opposed to that. But I started to think, well, what's going to stop them when they get to the Outsider's house block and they demo all these houses so they can build, you know, $10,000 houses in their place? And so that's when I started to really start to think, well, fuck, can we buy that house? Mm-hmm. Is that house ever going to come up for sale? And, you know, we've toyed with the idea for a while. And then finally, the last time I was in Tulsa, which is about 6 months ago up until, you know, last week, and I met a local guy there. We hit it off real well. And I said, dude, we got to get this house, you know? And I looked online and I saw the last owner's name and couldn't find their current address or phone number or email. I paid a service to, you know, that looks up that kind of shit. All of it was dead ends. And finally my man just walked up to the door and fucking asked the fucking renters, dude, where, give me the owner's name and number. And she was apprehensive. It took a couple of visits. Mm-hmm. And finally she did. And then we just called them and said, listen, we're fans of the house. We want to take extensive photos to document it just for, you know, for Delta Bravo. But if you ever want to sell the house, would you please let us know? Because we're kind of interested. And she said, I am interested in selling it. And here's my number. So in the back of my mind, I always thought she was going to say, well, if I ever think about it, I'll let you know. You know? Cool. And she didn't say that. She said, yeah, I'm ready to sell. What's up? And so it kind of forced my hand. I wasn't actually ready to buy it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of like asking the prom queen to the fucking prom, and she says, yeah. And you're like, no, seriously. So I didn't have a tuxedo ready. I didn't have a fucking, you know, I didn't have any, my shit wasn't together. But I had to do what I had to do. So I bought the house. I took half my savings, and I bought it. And it wasn't like it was a fortune, but on the same token, it's half my net worth, you know what I mean, of liquid, like, money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I fucking put it down, and then I wondered, what the fuck? What if Essie Hinton's pissed? Because I had met Essie Hinton on maybe my third trip to Tulsa after talking to her back and forth on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And actually, Nako had hooked up with her and got me a book autograph on my birthday.
Nice.
A few years back. That was like the first. And she had called in when we were doing that live show, the Delta Bravo show.
Right.
And I asked her, why don't you say that? She said, because it's not my house. I wrote the story about, you know, something. That's the house for the movie. And as cool as it is, let somebody else do that. And she was right, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking, well, why don't I do it? And so my next book, after I bought it, I thought, well, what if she's not happy about that? You know what I mean? What if she just kind of doesn't want to be bothered with that kind of shit? Because inadvertently, now I've awoken a lot of people that bother her now about it. So I got called to do a lot of press on it, but they also called S.C. Hinton. They said, hey, we want to talk to you about the house being sold. She did one interview about it, but it kind of forces her hand as well. But she's been very cool with it. She's been retweeting. We post. She's supportive of it, which is, it means everything to me, because if she wasn't on board, it would, this whole thing would be awkward, right? You know? And so I got a pretty nice collection of books, movie memorabilia, nothing that's like Holy Grail type stuff, although I do got a lot of obscure posters. You know, at that time, every time it would go to a different territory, those territories would print up their own version of the poster, change the name of the movie, you know?
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff out there. Recently, people have been posting pictures of, I guess, somebody eBayed in 2009, Matt Dillon's jacket, the denim jacket with the blood on it and the hole. I was like, what?
Damn.
And somebody else has, like, his leather jacket. Like, I don't have anything like that. But I'm hoping that people from the film might have some stuff and might donate it. I do have Darren Dalton sending me some stuff from his private collection, who was the Soch, you know, that we interviewed, and the, you know, and Essie Hinton said she's going to send me a little donation. She wanted to send it direct, so if it comes in the form of a check, it might never get cashed. It might just get framed.
Yeah.
And, you know, Matt Dillon follows me on Twitter and on Instagram, but I'm kind of scared or apprehensive to, like, hit him up just yet. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I still want to, like, get a little bit more money going, because the house is, you know, I bought it sight unseen, so I had no idea really what I was buying. And when I got there, I mean, they left a mess for me. So it took 3 days and three dudes to fucking, well, two dudes and a girl that I hired, to 10-hour days, 3 days in a row. They filled up a 40-yard dumpster just with the stuff that the previous tenants had left behind. That's everything from food to furniture, clothes, Pampers, shitty Pampers, dog shit, you name it, they left it.
So did they, where did disgusting. The people go who were staying there? Where did they go?
I paid for them to go to their new spot. So I paid for their first and last and their back bills, and I let them off the hook, the $4,000 that they were 8 months behind from the previous owner, who she waited a month before she would sell it to me.
Yeah.
Because she was promised that they were getting their IRS check and that they were going to settle up. So once she sold, it would be my money would come to me. So she wanted to wait. And after 30 days, she called me. I said, yeah, I didn't pay, right? Shocker. And so she's like, well, it's yours now. So I told them, hey, listen, I'm fair, and I want you guys to I had met their brother before. He was the one who gave me the brick, and I traded him for a Delta Bravo hat. He was a nice enough guy, so I wanted to do right by them. But on the same token, it really is not my problem.
Right.
But they didn't have the money to move. I'd rather give it to them than pay a lawyer and get nasty. So
yeah,
I gave it to them. It is what it is, right. You know. So,
have you hooked up with other? I saw you put something up last week that you hooked up with, like, the original location manager or something from the movie.
Yep, I did. I forget his name off the top. It's on the website. So, a lot of people from Tulsa have been coming through. A lot of them that I had met before. The original location manager. He came through because he was friends with my guy in Tulsa, whose name is Zachary Matthews. You've probably seen him before on the. On the Delta page,
yeah.
He's a local bar owner, and he's like a Tulsa local who, he's the guy you want to know in Tulsa, and he's another important part of why him and his brother, they got on board a local venue called The Shrine, got on board. They put a tip jar. They're getting like $100-something a night. He's giving me envelopes like I'm a mob guy. You know what I mean? Like every night, giving me. Everybody in town has been supportive. So, Tulsa rocks. The people there rock. The fucking press there. I did nightly news 3 nights in a row. Each big channel came a different day. I did the local radio show there, the morning radio show there. I was on the front page of the Tulsa World. So they care, and they're supporting. It's L.A., New York, and all the big things that I'm trying to now reach because I need to raise enough money to do this because I don't have the means to do it myself. It was in the 1990s. And I was making, like, early House of Pain money, no problem. I wouldn't even ask. If I didn't need the help, I wouldn't ask,
right.
You know? Puts me in a predicament because out of the hundreds of emails I've got thanking me and offering their services and giving me money, you get one guy who's just a dick. You know, oh, you're a famous rapper. How dare you ask, you know? And you're like, what the fuck? And I got to remember, there's always going to be, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a hard time, find fault in what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not really, I want to say it doesn't affect me, but it does because I want everybody to see the good in this. But at the end of the day, believe me when I tell you, if I didn't need the help, I wouldn't ask.
Right.
You know, I would just be like, what's this to a real player? Let me show everybody how cool I am. I did all this. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's not what I'm at. I'm trying to make something for all of us.
Right.
You know, I'm not planning to. It's going to be a museum that'll be open, you know, on certain days of the month for school trips can book trips to it. Special interest groups can come by. The average citizen can come by, whatever. You know what I mean? I don't know if I can do it a full-time museum because it's in a regular neighborhood. So,
yeah.
But it's a private collection that'll be open to the public on, you know, certain days or certain times of the month. Or bookable for whatever.
Right.
And I'm hoping to build around it. So I'm hoping to build an outsider's tour where I can take people to all the locations and then we end up at the house at the end and I can show them my collection and possibly parts of the film or whatever, you know. I'd like to do an annual thing there, maybe a Tulsa Fest.
Yeah.
Where we can get some of the actors to come through. Essie Hinton still lives in Tulsa, you know, active in the community. Next year marks the 50th anniversary of the book, which would be a perfect kickoff time, ribbon cutting ceremony for the house.
Right.
Although I don't think it'll take a year. It's in pretty bad shape. I mean, the floors are warped. It's all wood. It's not on a foundation. It's on, you know, bricks, the house, piers. So it needs piering. It needs leveling. It needs douching. I mean, they left it in, like, if you've ever been to a trap house or a fucking crack house, they left it in crack house condition for me. So, and I live in L.A. So it's going to, you know, I'm just trying to get estimates right now on what it'll cost. I'm looking to raise 75 total, but that's all in. I mean, the kitchen, we had to completely rip the kitchen out. There were thousands of cockroaches. I've never seen such an infestation of cockroaches in my life. I do not know how people were living in there.
Damn.
You know, tell me about it.
Speaking of locations, are there any that you haven't been able to find from the outsiders? Not stuff that's been bulldozed, but stuff that you just can't find.
So, no. We pretty much know where everything is. The one that was hard for a while, and I never went to it, but I know there's like a Novotel hotel built on it, was the one where Tom Waits answers the door. That thing got like hit by lightning, I heard, or hit by a tornado, or hit by something. And they end up tearing it down. You know what I'm talking about? Once they kill the soaps and they look legit.
Yeah, actually, I had that written down. I was going to ask you about that location.
So. Yeah, there's a hotel built on it now. I think it's a Novotel in Tulsa. If you Google that, it'll come up.
Okay.
Where the church on Jay Mountain was is a lake now. So they flooded that whole place out and turned it into a man-made lake. So it's underwater. So I don't know if you can physically go to it. I've never been. SC told me it's a lake now, and all the locals have told me, but it's kind of like 10 miles out of the city.
Okay.
I've been to all the spots. So the shootout scene at the end with Dally is now something different. It barely looks recognizable, you know, but it's right across from the same place where they had that little meeting with the Socs, and they get in, and John and Pony gets in the car with Darren Dalton, and they start talking, and you can see a football field in the back. That's in a different part of town called Owosso.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another like 15 minutes outside of Tulsa. But no, there is really no, the Pines at one point was a hard one, and then we figured out where it was. The 52 card pickup scene is filmed in Owosso, and then when they chase him out, they had to re-pick up that scene like 6 months later and shoot it again. So I know the two of the three kids that are in there. Two of them are brothers called the Wagoneers. You'll see them on Delta all the time too, Billy Wagoneer and his brother Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Billy's giving me his denim jacket that he's wearing in that scene.
That's
you know,
cool.
I've got the actual deck of cards, not the actual, that's not the right way, but I have the exact same cards that they used in the scene, which are like vintage cards from the 50s that the exact make, color, etc. that I'll, you know, put like in a frame, shadow box, have them re-sign them. You know, I've already got them signed to other cards, but now I got the set. They're like $50 a set. They're fucking expensive for, you know, a deck of cards used. But, you know, I got a nice little switchblade collection of the shell puller, the one that Johnny used, you know. I've got it, you know, I got a lot of stuff. I mean, the framing costs are going to cost me fucking $10,000 just to, you know, to frame the posters I have. I have that many, you know.
Right.
And the giant Subway ones and all that shit. So we got a lot of nice shit. And I also know, just, you know, my friend does a thing called the Valley Relics Museum. It started off as like a hobby of his collection of, like, San Fernando Valley stuff. And now he's got a giant museum, because every once he started putting it in a spot, it attracted other collectors to say, hey man, you know, I've been holding on to this and it's just collecting dust in my man cave, why don't we put it in your museum? So I'm hoping that I can attract a lot of, you know, other collectors to lend me their stuff, you know, we'll put it in this museum for a while or whatever, what have you.
Right. That's pretty amazing that, you know, they filmed Tex, Outsiders, and Rumblefish all in Tulsa within that short amount of time, you know?
Yeah, because of SC, because she's there.
Yeah.
I also have, here's what I do have that's cool, and I just found another one. I have her yearbook from the year she wrote that in 11th grade at her high school. So
that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. The first one I paid like $250 for, because they said it was an SC Hinton, you know, in the yearbook, and the other one I just found a couple nights ago for $20, $19, and I just didn't know that it was S.C. Hinton's year, you know?
Right. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what, besides Tulsa, what are the locations that you're still, like, dying to hit that you haven't made it to yet?
In general?
Yeah, like movie-related.
Wow. Well, I mean, they're not so much that I haven't hit them, they're just I can't get to them. So, like, let's say the pool from Less Than Zero is on a famous house So the box cover where Downey Jr. is sitting against, like, leaning against something by a pool.
Right.
It's at a famous, I forget the architecture's name. It actually just sold. It was, like, the first time I've been on the market in 50 years. It's in Los Feliz. And we got out front of it, but you can only, like, really see the reflection of it. It's, like, this totally ultra-modern house that was built in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it had my, if I had my drone at that time, I would have just flown in that as well, just like I did the Fast Times one, because it's just up on a hill. But I didn't have the drone, and then I crashed the drone the last time I was in Tulsa with Slane. And so I don't have the, you know, I have a drone, but it's in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, shit like that, you know. A lot of the less than zero locations, like the, even the school is like on a private school behind, like, you know, you just can't walk up or pull up to. You have to go to a security gate, and there's no way to really get in it. So those are some of the Goonies ones I haven't been to, not that I can't get at them. There's not really any that are, like, hiding.
Mm-hmm.
That I can think of off the top. I mean, once we crashed the Fast Times pool with the drone, I mean, that was kind of like my, and I also got, you know, the to do that, which one you did, is the to get the janitor open up over the edge of school for me and to get a private tour from the janitor.
See, I didn't make it inside.
Down.
I didn't make it inside.
I know.
Is that amazing?
Yeah, well, it was amazing. They think that it's probably already gone now. They're tearing it down as we speak. Really sucks, but I, you know, what tipped me off, what gave me the idea, was the line from the Breakfast Club. He said, "I am the eyes and the ears of the institution, my friend."
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, "Fuck, who do I know that's a janitor?" Jimmy Cash is a janitor. So I called Jimmy. I said, "Jimmy, do you guys have like a special Facebook page of like, you know, Janitors United?" He started laughing. He goes, "Dude, we're not cops or firemen. No, we don't have that kind of shit." I said, "Well, will you call up to this school and ask for the janitor? And tell her what I'm trying to do. Tell him what I'm trying to do." It turned out to be a her.
Mm-hmm.
He did, and then he said, "Yeah, she'll meet you there Saturday." He told me that on a Thursday in L.A. I jumped in my car, and I drove all the way to Greeley, Colorado. When I got there, the newspaper met me. They thought some crazy fucker from L.A. came just to see a school. Then when they realized it was Danny Wood from House of Pain, they tripped out. And the guy had never even seen the movie. So I made the newspaper on that one. That was pretty bitching.
Yeah.
And I got to do the same thing. I applied the same technique to Van Nuys High School, which I used to live literally a mile away from. You know, I'd been outside of it staring in, but I got the janitors. They let me go in Mr. Hand's class, the locker room, you name it. I got to get, you know, that's pretty, that was and on a Saturday all by my lonesome. And I brought one other guy with me, but basically we had the room to ourselves so we could fucking do whatever we wanted. So those are all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
but at
the
this
other
point,
thing,
I got to figure out another way. You know, you do a lot of the same shit. You're like, we got to figure out another way to like make it interesting. Because I've been to so many at this point,
right?
That I'm not running out. I'm just running out of steam to how many, like, you know. So hopefully, the preservation part of this is the next level. You know.
Yeah.
After that, after the Outsider's House, maybe we can find something else that we could go, "Hey, man, this needs to be honored and restored," and whether it's a house or a fucking, you know, whatever, a music studio, who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Where we're like, instead of rip the board out, you know, and fucking make a documentary about it and steal the crown jewel, let's like save the studio instead.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a shot at Dave Grohl, you know. But anyway, I always appreciate your support too, man. And, you know, since early on, I remember you being, you know, in the fold. So I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, man. You guys do awesome stuff. And this, I mean, again, Outsider is one of my favorite movies of all time, too. So I'm super excited about this. And
I hope to see you at the ribbon cutting ceremony, my man.
I'll definitely go come out there for that.
Yeah, I'll let you stay in the Pony Boys room free of charge.
When I stepped out into the bright sunlight, from the darkness of the movie house,
seize upon the moment long ago, one breath away and there you will be, so young and carefree. Again you will see that place in time so gold still, away into that way back when you thought that all would last forever,
but like the weather, nothing can ever and be in time. Stay gold. But can it be when we can see so vividly a memory? And yes, you say, so must the day to fade away and leave a ray of sun. So gold life is but a twinkling of an eye, yet filled with sorrow and compassion, though not imagined. All things that happen will age too old, though gold.